Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
He's right there to pick you up, and he's right there to be like, look, if you just, Lord, I messed up today. I know you did. I know. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You're forgiven. Let's go. Let's keep running. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. That's the beauty of walking with Jesus. There's a lot of falling down on our part, but there's a lot of picking up on his part. He's just there to pick us up and say, okay, look, yeah, but let's keep going. Let's keep going. We'll work on this. You'll grow. You'll grow out of some of those things.
No matter how much of an understanding of God's grace we might have, we often can't help but feel the occasional condemnation when we sin. If we're not careful, it's these times that are the perfect opportunity for the enemy to do some serious damage. In today's message, Pastor James will encourage you by reminding you that God is always willing to forgive. In his study, you'll learn how God not only forgives, but uses each failure to help you grow in your walk with him. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 20, with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Meeting together, sweet. If you want to meet in homes, sweet. Knock yourself out. But what are you doing? Whether in the big room or in the small home, what are you doing? That's what matters the most. Is it about Jesus? Is it his word? Is his word being taught? If his word's not being taught, then all you have is a little social group. And that's cool, that's fun, but that's not church. Let's define some terms here. What is the church? The church is his body that gathers together, centered around Jesus and his word, and also communion and worship, the key tenets that were established back in Acts chapter 2. That's what makes a church a church. Us getting together and just like shooting the breeze for an hour, that's not church. Okay, let's make some clear distinctions here. Church is worshiping Jesus, the body coming together to elevate Jesus and to worship Jesus, and also to encourage each other, to build each other up, because we need that. There's nothing wrong with hanging out. There's nothing wrong with social groups. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But if that's all it is, don't call it church. Don't call it church. But if you're getting together and you're opening up the word and man, you're worshiping Jesus and it just looks different than how we're doing it right here, but you're worshiping Jesus, sweet, call it a church. Knock yourself out. Do more of that. Do more of that. But that's what they had to do. They were going from home to home, and it was really cool. And when they had opportunities to meet in bigger places, they met in bigger places because they were growing and they needed to do that. So it's not right. It's not wrong. None of that stuff. They were gathering with one singular purpose, and that was to glorify and exalt Jesus. And that's what they did. Okay, he says, verse 21, I had one message for the Jews and the Greeks alike, singular message for both, okay? The necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. Basically, that's the gospel. You're a sinner. You need to repent of that. You need to change your ways. You're going down this way, and it's stop that and go down this new path. That's what repentance is. The other side of that is this. I think sometimes this doesn't get acknowledged. Repentance is also owning it, owning the fact that you're a sinner. Own it. Like, you're not fooling anybody. We're like, I think sometimes it's like, no, you just got to stop going this way. Just turn to Jesus. That's repentance. Yeah, but another part of repentance is saying like, look, I'm a sinner. Own it. Own it. You are, and I hate it. This is the first time you're hearing this. You're a sinner. You're born a sinner. You're in good company. Because if you look around, we're all sinners. Maybe the biggest one of all. We're all sinners. Repentance is owning it. Because I don't care if you choose to follow Jesus. If you never own the fact that you're a sinner, you're missing something. You're not truly appreciating the free gift of salvation that he has given to you. When you understand, it's like, man, no. Like, my sin We are born that way. That's a division. That's a split between, it's what keeps me from God, and yet Jesus stood in that gap to make that bridge. So, like Paul said in to the Church of Rome, like, man, while I was his enemy, he died for me. Like, that's a big deal. So we own the fact that, Lord, I'm a sinner. That was when I was a 19-year-old kid, that's what I prayed. I said, look, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Lord, I don't know why you want me, but I do know this. I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. I need you to save me. And that's kind of the beauty of repenting from sin. It's just owning it and giving it to the Lord and then moving on. And just moving on. Will you still sin? Of course you will. Of course. But he's right there to pick you up, and he's right there to be like, look, if you just Lord, I messed up today. I know you did. I know. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. You're forgiven. Let's go. Let's keep running. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. That's the beauty of walking with Jesus. There's a lot of falling down on our part, but there's a lot of picking up on his part. He's just there to pick us up and say, okay, look, yeah, but let's keep going. Let's keep going. We'll work on this. You'll grow. You'll grow out of some of those things. You just keep following the Lord Jesus. You can mature out of some of those things, and you'll discover, like, well, there's a whole lot more in me that I need to repent of. Like, I thought I did it, like, when I got saved, and it's like, Lord's like, oh, no, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. And it's going to be a journey throughout the rest of your life. And that's true for all of us, okay? But Paul, this is what Paul did. He shared the gospel with these people. He told them what they needed to hear. What they needed to hear is, you're a sinner, you need to repent of that, and you need to give your life to Jesus so he can make you brand new. He goes on to say, verse 22, now I am bound by the Spirit. So just so you know, mine does not do a good job of translating this because it capitalizes the word Spirit there. That's not accurate, okay? You're like, throw it away. No, it's not a big deal, right? Because if you just do some research, you'll know, like, he's bound by the Spirit. Technically, he says bound by, I'm compelled by, like, my Spirit, okay? If you read some of the other manuscripts, it's, I'm bound by an inner compulsion. I have this inner desire to go to Jerusalem. Okay, so just so we understand that right, to go to Jerusalem, I don't know what awaits me, except, verse 23, remember that 20-mile walk? Except that the Holy Spirit, now this is accurate, the Holy Spirit keeps telling me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. So he's like, I really want to go to Jerusalem. But every time I'm going there, the Holy Spirit keeps showing up and says, like, hey, if you keep going this way, here's what you can expect. You're going to keep getting locked up. You're going to be imprisoned, and it may not end the way that you think it should. But he still went to Jerusalem. See, this is that thing of like, well, what would have changed? How would it have been different? We don't know. We don't know. Was it God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem? It doesn't seem like it. And there's even more stories to come as we go through the book of Acts, where you have prophets that are showing up in his life saying, like, hey, this is a bad idea. Let me show you what's going to happen to you if you keep going this route to go to Jerusalem. But yet, this is part of that thing where God allows Paul to continue down that path. And he's still going to use Paul. He still will use him. But what if he could have been used to a greater extent if he didn't go to Jerusalem? This is just one of those things where you're like, well, how does this help me? Here's what I would say. If you're praying for God's will within your life, and the Holy Spirit keeps telling you, okay, don't go there. Don't do that. And then other people show up in your life saying, like, hey, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I would probably listen to that voice instead of that inner desire of like, no, but I have good intentions. Cool. Great intentions. That's amazing. And you'll get there, but you might end up disappointed. I've been so determined to get to here. And then you show up there and it's like, well, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. So what's really amazing about, and we talked about this before, but we sometimes communicate the will of God as like a pinpoint on a target, right, in our lives. And we're like shooting for that bullseye. When in reality, the will of God is like this huge circle. And in one sense, it's just like, well, just get anywhere in the circle. Like, I mean, you just get in the circle. go through life, if you're questioning like, well, am I doing the right thing? Just submit that to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know if you want me to follow this direction or go there or live there or work there or whatever, but I'm going to just trust you with that and just please guide and direct me. And you may not have anybody show up in your life telling you, don't go there, don't, or do go here. Just follow the Lord, keep following the Lord. And my dear friend of mine, we went to Bible college together. He used to tell me, he's like, look, he's like, I'm not too worried about going to the place where God wants me to go. He's like, now, he's not like, it's not like he's just, I'm just going to do my own thing. He says, he's like, I always lay it out. And I pray about where, okay, Lord, where would you want me to go? And he says, you know, what I'm confident in is wherever I end up, God can use me there. And if he really wants me, like I'm over here and he wants me to be over here, well, he knows how to get me from there to there. He's like, I trust that. I know that. He's like, but throughout my life, I know that there's been times where maybe he wanted me to go here and I ended up over here, but he still used me over here. Maybe not to the extent of here, but, and so it, because I wrestled with this in college as I was like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And he was able to speak that into my life in the sense of like, look, just follow the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry about it too much. Just follow the Lord. Wherever you go, how about you just serve the Lord? And he'll make it clear to you whether or not, whether you should be there or not. Right? So there's this interesting relationship where we have with God where there is this permissible will where He will allow you to go where you want to go, and he can still use you there, but he may have a whole other plan where he's like, yeah, but I really want you to go here. Whether or not you ever end up there, I don't know. Paul does end up, I think, where God had intended him to go, which was Rome, but he just went a long way around to get there, okay? Went down to Jerusalem, gets arrested, and then gets escorted as a prisoner to Rome, where maybe the whole time God was like, I just want you to go to Rome. I don't want you to go to Jerusalem. But you really want to go to Jerusalem? I'll let you go to Jerusalem. I'll get you to Rome, though. But I'll let you go to Jerusalem. I think if I could summarize that in one thing, it's just this. Just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord, okay? Don't be so afraid to move that you just spend your life standing still. Trust the Lord. Movement is life. Movement is life. That's what I tell my kids all the time because you're usually standing in my way. I'm like, hey, movement is life, all right? Like, move out of my way. Like, movement is life, okay? Like, same with the Christian walk. Movement is life. Just keep moving. Keep running the race. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. He knows how to redirect. We get off track all the time. And Lord knows how to step into our lives and say, no, oh, no, this way. I'm going to allow this circumstance to come into your life to get you back on track, okay? He knows far better than we do, okay? So we're just going to trust him, just like Paul. Paul's like, I don't know, the Holy Spirit keeps telling me that trouble awaits me, but I'm bound and determined to go to Jerusalem. And they're like, okay. Verse 25, this last little section here. It says, now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. Well, that's kind of a bummer. I declare today that I've been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. He's like, I've shared the gospel. I've done what I was supposed to do here within this region. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. So guard yourselves and God's people. And he's speaking to the leaders. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church. You can underline that. It's his church. Who does Calvary Galveston belong to? It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to Jesus, right? It's not my church. And it's not the leadership of this church's church. It's not ours. This is Jesus's church. It belongs to him. But we, as leadership, we have a responsibility to what? To shepherd the flock, to teach the word. And that's what we're going to do. But also, you have to be on guard. And it goes on to say, this is his church, purchased with his own blood. This Calvary Galveston was never purchased with my blood. And even if it was, it's not good, okay? It's not good. I mean, I'm like, O positive or O negative. I don't know which one it is. But I'm one of those ones where blood banks keep emailing me saying, we want your blood, okay? But it's not, even regardless of that, it's not enough for you. You need the blood of Christ. And it's his blood that has redeemed everybody. And it's his blood that has purchased you and has purchased his church. That's why it's his, okay? So He goes on, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men within or from your own group or from within your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Have you ever seen that happen in a church? Oh, yeah, it happens, huh? Some bad guys from the inside know how to step up, and then they want to split the church, and they want to do their own thing, and so they take a whole group of people with them so that they can do their own thing. It's fascinating. But still, we still have issues with all this stuff, too. Now, just because somebody raises up in a church and maybe goes off to plant their own church doesn't make them a bad guy, okay? Just so there's clarity there, okay? So I don't think everybody who's come out, and if half the church leaves to go follow that guy, well, maybe that guy's actually preaching the word because this guy stopped doing it. I don't know. Doesn't make him a wolf in one sense, but what Paul's addressing here is you have people that are going against the leadership of the church, which is doing their best to feed the flock, and these guys have their own intentions. They want to be the celebrity. They want to be the man, right? So you got to be on guard from that. Anybody who ever stands up and it's like it seems like it's all about them, not so much about Jesus, but kind of more them than more Jesus, I would be cautious. I'd be cautious. Just be very cautious of that. I'm not saying they're a wolf or anything like that, but I would hope that anybody who stands behind this pulpit, that they do their best to promote Jesus over themselves. It says, though, come up from your own group, distorting the truth. Verse 31, watch out or be on guard. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you, night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up, praise God for that, and to give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. Paul is doing what every good pastor should do and every good missionary should do as well. Is look, I may have to leave, but I'm trusting you with the Lord. I'm trusting you with the Lord. And it's the same for what we do on Sundays. It's like, look, I'm not your Savior. I'm not your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. So the best thing you could do is just to keep running to him. And as you go from this building and you see what this new week holds for you and all that stuff, you just keep running to Jesus. You just keep running to Jesus. Now, I'll be here for you as much as I can be, but I'm just a guy. I'm pretty limited. Time and knowledge and wisdom. You want Jesus. You want Jesus. It says, verse 33, I've never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who are with me. I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. Right, the best way to help somebody is just you yourself. Be a hard worker as well. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We understand that. I hope we understand that. It's in your, trust me, your kids, if you got them, they agree with this. They echo the sentiment. They're like, look, it is better for you to give to me, okay? Because I love receiving, right? That's usually how that's applied. That's how I applied it as a kid. But we know it's just so gratifying when you can show up and you can help somebody out. It's good for your soul. It really is just good for your soul. There's a reason why you feel better when you help somebody out. It's like medicinal. It's like really good for you. In fact, Jesus said, he's like, hey, give. Help somebody out. If they need the help, my goodness, help them out. Help them out. Be there for them. More blessed to give than to receive. When he finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them, the leaders. Just picture this image. There on the coastline there, there's the Apostle Paul kneeling down and praying with these leaders that he helped to establish. He planted this church. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad, most of all, because he had said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. And that's the end. They will never see him again. Paul will go off. He will go to Jerusalem. We'll see that a few months from now. He will go down to Jerusalem, but he will be bound, and he will be taken back to Rome as a prisoner. And as far as all these dear brothers and sisters who were with him every step, and for 3 years, man, he was with these guys. He established that church. He poured into them. He discipled them and mentored them and did all that stuff, prayed with them. Dedicated their babies, baptized, and all that stuff. They knew in this farewell, they were never going to see this guy again. This was it. This was adios. You know, and the beautiful thing about Christianity is this isn't goodbye, as in we'll never see you again. In reality, it's probably more proper to say, see you later. We'll see you on the other side. We'll see you on the other side. Keep running. And that's what Paul, he established for these guys and for you and for myself and with loved ones that we have, man, especially within the Christian community, maybe that you're established within. We keep running this race. We keep encouraging one another. As we see the day of the Lord drawing closer, we keep encouraging each other. You keep running. You keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And if something happens, it's I'll see you later. I'll see you later. And we've had friends, we've had family members, we've had loved ones who have said that, right? I mean, dear people within our lives. And what's really beautiful within the church, for sure, is there's that comfort that comes along with it. Are we sad for them to leave? Of course. Do we shed tears? Absolutely. Absolutely. Grieving a loss is a natural and healthy thing to do. But we don't grieve as though we don't have any hope, right? So we can have guys like, I remember the day when Chuck Smith died. Chuck Smith's my hero in the faith, right? He was that guy, Grandpa Chuck. In case you don't know anything about Calvary Chapel, it's like he just opened his doors to hippies back in the 60s. He says, I don't care what you look like. I don't care who you are. Come to church. I'll teach you the Bible. And that's what he did, faithfully. And then this punk shows up in Bible college in 98, I think is when it was. That was a long time ago. And I saw this old guy stand in this pulpit, not this one, but stand in the pulpit, preach faithfully, walk off of this pulpit, pick up his tool belt, put it on, and go work on a project at our school campus. And he picked up trash everywhere he went. He wasn't above anything. He wasn't above anybody. And I remember that day when the message went out, Pastor Chuck's gone to be with the Lord. And there's that part of you where you're just crushed, but then you're also like, but I remember what Chuck taught us. He said, don't worry. I just got a head start. I'll see you. I'll see you when you get here. Same thing when Billy Graham died. And the names go on and on where you're like, oh, there's this crushing, but then there's also the reality, the reminder of like, this isn't goodbye. I'll see you later. That's comforting, especially in a scary world in which we live, where, I mean, death is just prevalent within our nation, it seems like, and globally as well. But we don't have to fear it. We don't have to be afraid. So be smart. You know, I don't want to do anything that's going to end that time, you know, in one sense. Like, you don't want to, I want to be smart, and I want to just be available and be used by God for as long as he has me here. But also to know that, man, In the end, it's just, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. That's what Paul does here. And that's why these guys, I mean, they're embracing each other. They're kissing. They're saying their goodbyes. And yes, this is common and normal for them. I'm glad it's not an American thing. You know my deal with personal affection. I'm kind of like, brotherly kisses, the European thing, kiss on the cheeks. I'm like, nah, I can't do it. But I have. They do the same thing in Peru, and you know my story in that. I was just like, oh, man, okay. Die to yourself, James. Die to yourself. Like, kiss on the cheek, it's not a big deal, right? I'm just like, I'm a handshake and high-five guy. That's who I am. Like, but here, it's just beautiful. It's intimate. It's so personal. And they're saying their farewell, their farewells. The hopeless,
how incredible to learn about the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of the apostles within the early church. You've been listening to Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us in this study through the book of Acts. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more from Pastor James, feel free to visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the teachings tab. We'd also love to hear from you, so would you let us know how you've been blessed by Bread for the Broken? You can drop us a note through the contact page on our website. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit.
So for directions, service times, and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We hope to see you soon. Until then, we encourage you to read ahead and to begin to study the book of Acts on your own. Although it may seem unrelatable because it took place thousands of years ago, that couldn't be further from the truth. God is still living and active today, and His Spirit is present and seeking those who believe. And if you let Him, God can do incredibly powerful things through you for the kingdom. So the question we'll leave you with today is, will you say yes to what God is doing? And will you trust in Him to move today just as He did all of those years ago? There's still so much to learn from the book of Acts, but that's all the time we have for today. Join us again next time, right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man.